Let me take this opportunity to welcome everyone this evening to Slutho. And as we have offered these prayers and these petitions before our Lord, I would like for us to take a few moments to reflect on a short gospel passage that we can meditate upon this evening, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. It reads as follows. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, Assuredly I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and the harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen. I think this passage is maybe not one of the most common ones that are often spoken upon, especially in sermons or in Bible studies. But here Jesus tells a simple parable to show who it is that does the will of his Father and who does not. It's quite interesting because we see in this passage the parable of two sons. And simply put, one says, I will not, and ends up going and doing it anyways. And then there's one who says, I will, Lord, and never ends up doing it. So what I think something that we need to reflect upon this evening is that their first intentions didn't match with their final actions. Both started by saying one thing and then ended up doing the opposite. Again, the first intentions didn't match up with their final actions. I think what I want to ask each and every one of us this evening is, which of these sons do we prove to be? See, when this parable was spoken by Jesus, it was intended to upset or make the people uncomfortable because there were many people during that time that were comfortable and satisfied religious people of the day. They were like the son that said, I will, but never really even did the will of the Father. The Pharisees, we know them very well, the priests, the scribes, the teachers of the law, they were so quite self-assured of their status in God's eyes. They seemed to be spotless, pious, faithful in all of their religious duties and responsibility. And when we looked at them outwardly, they had every appearance of being good, moral people. And most of the times, I think we see that in our society today. We see those people and we think, oh man, those people are definitely headed to heaven. And those were the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers. What could possibly have excluded them? And even their commitment to God seems so obvious. But then there's a whole group of other people. There are those who clearly did not seek the Father's will. And we see that even in society today, criminals, outcasts, thieves, tax collectors. This group was never even welcome among the upright Jews. This group was representative of the people in society who were clearly sinners, those who walked on the way of guilt. And of course, there were other people who fell into this group, but the point is that nobody had these people marked as potential candidates for the kingdom. From their plainly immoral lives, it was pretty obvious where they were headed. But here, we see something that Christ does. He turns perceptions upside down. Though it was clear to them who was going to be headed towards the kingdom, Christ reverses their thoughts. The truth was that tax collectors and the prostitutes were entering the kingdom even before the others. It wasn't that God was approving of their lifestyle. That's not what the point was. It was because they had godly sorrow or grief over their sin and had believed truly in Christ, who was going to be the one to forgive them. They weren't like the Pharisees who put on this good outward show, but in their hearts were arrogant and satisfied. When I look at ourselves today, I think any one of us could easily be labeled as these religious type of people. I don't think there's anybody on this line right now that probably shows up at church regularly, if not even every Sunday, that probably participates in church activities or committees or youth groups or whatever it may be. And we all lead pretty decent lives. We try to avoid trouble, and we try to be good citizens, and that's all great. But a lot of times, I think one thing that we all have to be very, very careful of and cautious of is inner spiritual pride. And what inner spiritual pride is, it makes us think we've earned our good status before God. For some of us, we think only in terms of our record and our status, so we take on high positions. And there are a group of people like that. They want the positions that are at the top because they perceive that to be the most important. Some of us compare ourselves to others who may be deeply rooted in sin, and we say, oh, thank God I'm not like them. That person is so much worse than me. I'm so much better than them. And then there's some of us who just pay our dues, we put in our time, and we are just satisfied if we are listed in the church records. But the church has no relevance to our everyday life. We're just simply names on the registers. See, I think we often put aside those who live in sin and form all these categories in our heads, these three types of categories. But we have to remind ourselves that Christ actually does quite the opposite. He reminds us that many of these people who lived in sin will be probably going into the kingdom of heaven ahead of those who were apparently committed to the church all along. Because as in this parable, the first son was ultimately the one who did the will of his father, even though he was reluctant and refused at first. The first son is those who are openly disobedient, but the second one was prepared to do the will of the Father, but didn't. In this parable, Christ shows to us that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who think they have been doing the will of the Father all along, but they really just haven't been. They really didn't believe. The fact that they had done the will of the Father was because they had rejected John the Baptist's message pointing to the way of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why they had not done the will of the Father. The reason that blatant sinners, like the tax collectors or the prostitutes, were going ahead of them into the kingdom of heaven was because they repented and believed. They saw Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the same for us today. There will be many people who have led lives that were full of open sin, who constantly say, I will not toward God. But as the Holy Spirit works faith in Jesus Christ in their hearts, they will regret that life they led. And we hope and pray that God will have mercy upon them to the point where they turn to Christ in faith for his forgiveness. When I look at the word repentance, I think we often forget what it really means. It's not simply just saying aloud our sins. It means to turn or to change our heart and mind. But the heart or the word used by Christ here is not repent. He uses the word that means to regret or feel grief about something. The first son in the parable, as I mentioned, regretted his decision to disobey the Father. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, St. Paul contrasts godly grief and worldly grief. Godly grief, according to St. Paul, produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret whereas worldly grief produces death. Grief, for grief's sake, is no good. But if it leads it to repentance, it is godly grief. So the question I want to leave with us all tonight is, which of these sons are we? Are we the sons and daughters who feel genuine remorse over his disobedience? Or are we like the tax collectors and prostitutes who, upon hearing about the way of righteousness, felt a godly grief over sin and turned away in repentance? I want us to take a moment this evening to really, truly self-examine ourselves, especially in the light of God's law. As I mentioned before, we try to categorize ourselves. There are many religious types of people. And the question or the thought that I want to leave with us all for the end of this evening is, will we be shocked to find the tax collectors and the prostitutes proceeding into the kingdom ahead of us? The call of Christ in this parable is a simple one. And I end with the message that St. John the Baptist preached all throughout his ministry, and that later Christ himself preached all throughout his ministry. Simply put, it's repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living works to us. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation. And unto his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen.